Thank you all for coming. The purpose of this study is to evaluate the potential benefits of conservation tillage on soil quality under furrow irrigation on a production scale. We also wanted to see if there's any relationships between the parameters measured. And finally, is this feasible? 40% of Colorado farmers are still under furrow irrigation, and switching irrigation system could be very pricey. This could be an alternative, but first they want to know if it works. Conservation tillage has been the common practice for over 150 years, and here in our field has been the common practice for over three decades. And it has been known to have adverse effects on our soil, such as soil degradation, decrease of soil organic matter, as well as a decrease of biological activity. In this study, the conservation tillage, or CT, is used as a baseline of the control. Minimal till and strip till were the conservation tillage practices used for this treatment. And the conventional till, has been the common practice for over 150 years. We maintain a 30% residue cover or greater in these two plots, as well as little to no soil inversion. And conservation tillage uses far less energy, such as fuel and manpower, and also machinery overall. And in 2016, I do want to note this, that we had to use a verti-till on entire field, all three plots, to minimize cracking that we had from the year before, as well as to ensure good beds for the following year. And this project originally started as a field demonstration sparked by the interest of local farmers in conservation tillage under furrow irrigation for large-scale plots. It's approximately 5.6 hectares, and it just finished its sixth year. The first 5 years we grew corn, the last year we grew barley. It's a randomized complete block design with three treatments and two replications. For soil quality analysis, we sampled from the north, the south, the bed, and the furrow of each plot. The soil is a complex and interconnected community of living and dead organisms, physical and chemical factors, and other processes to ensure that create a healthy ecosystem. Here are the parameters that we measured to assess soil quality or soil health. The NRCS defines soil health as the continued capacity of the soil to function as a vital living ecosystem that sustains plants, life, plants, animals, and humans. We actually ran an ANOVA Type 3 analysis on the data as well as a Tukey test using R programming. And because of time constraints, we're only focused on the significant ones, which are macrofauna abundance, earthworms, aggregate stability, infiltration rate, and active carbon. In the field, to measure surface residue, we use a standard meter squared. For macrofauna, we excavated a known volume of soil and hand sorted through all visible macrofauna greater than 2 millimeters. For infiltration, we used a Cornell sprinkle filtrometer, and in the lab, the potassium permanganate method was used for active carbon. A Cornell sprinkle filtrometer was used again for aggregate stability, and for total suspended solids, we used the EPA method 160-0.2. The results for residue cover was measured in megagrams per hectare for each treatment, and as designed, the conservation plots have a significantly higher amount of residue cover for minimal till and strip till. In 2016, we see an overall decrease in all plots. And this is due to that extra tillage treatment that we mentioned before, that verti-till that we had to pass. For active carbon, was measured in milligrams per kilogram for each treatment for 2016 and 2015. Active carbon is the portion of soil organic matter that is readily available for the microbial community. In 2015, we did see a significant difference in mint till was significantly higher than conventional till and strip till. In 2016, we didn't see any significant difference, but we did see this increasing trend as we go from conventional to mint till to strip till. The macrofauna abundance was measured in individuals per meter squared. For 2015 and 2016, strip-till had a significantly higher amount of macrofauna abundance compared to conventional till and mint-till in 2015. In 2016, we didn't see any significance, but once again, we do see this increasing trend as we go from the conventional to the conservation plots. We believe that there was this major decrease in these plots because of that extra tillage treatment that I mentioned before. We also did see a relationship between residue and macrofauna abundance. As residue increases, macrofauna abundance tends to increase. And studies have shown, actually, that long-term conservation plots 5 to 10 years will actually lose their benefits just by one intensive tillage treatment. And the earthworm abundance, all the earthworms actually that we found were from the Labraceae family. And in the data, we actually measured, for 2015, we measured in June and September, and they were measured in individuals per meter squared. We actually have here broken down into the treatments as well as bed and furrows, so you can see the differences. Overall, the furrows had a higher amount of earthworm abundance, especially in strip-till. And even though furrows are normally more compact, that is where you see the majority of the residue, as well as that is the source of irrigation, or where we irrigate. So we usually have a higher soil moisture content there as well. And once again, we do see this relationship between residue and earthworms. As residue increases, you tend to have a higher amount of earthworms in this fact. Here are the physical parameters that we measured for our field. Aggregate stability in 2015 was measured in percent. Didn't show a significant difference, but once again, we do see this increasing trend as we go from conventional to mint-till to strip-till. In 2015, for infiltration rate was measured in centimeters per minute. We had a significant difference, a higher amount of infiltration in the strip-till. Overall. The total, there was an actual water quality component to this project, which you could see here visibly the difference between the conventional, the mint till, and the strip till. We know that residue in the furrows will actually slow down the velocity of the irrigation water, which will minimize the detachment and the transport of sediment. Here on the right, you could see this is the water monitoring station that we had. And you see how the water is very dark, filled with sediment. But in strip-till, it's very clear. And you can see the same trend in the data where the conventional till had a higher amount of TSS load, or total suspended solid load, in megagrams per hectare. We see the same trend in both 2015 and 2016. Here are the feasibility study that we actually did, where we measured the variable cost and the fixed cost for each treatment. And on the left here, the gross income, it's in dollars per hectare, the amount of dollars per hectare we got for that yield. On the right, the net income is the profits. When we subtracted the variable cost and the fixed cost, we actually saw that strip-till specifically had a 14% higher profit when compared to conventional till. Once again, conventional till will use less fuel, machinery operations, as well as less machinery repairs. For example, strip till use 42% less fuel than conventional till, and this is what caused this 14% profit that we received for strip till. The discussion and summaries is soil quality parameters did improve in the conservation plots. We did see benefits in the biological, the physical, and the chemical properties, as well as a decrease in soil erosion in those plots, in the conventional plots. And residue management is very important for having a successful conservation treatment. And we actually saw a strong relationship between residue and a lot of the other parameters that we measured. And finally, it is feasible. We had higher returns, and we also used a lot less energy overall in the conservation plots. So this means that farmers can start adopting these practices now if they're under furrow irrigation. Now, we do want to see this type of study in different time scales to find out exactly when the benefits actually come to effect. And that is my talk. Thank you very much. Any questions? Texture is a sandy clay loam, I believe. Actually, if I go back to, right there, it's a fine loam, but Any other questions? Yes, sir.
Did you notice any difference when you were irrigating through the furrows as far as water volume at the end versus just water?
Yes, actually, overall, there was a low amount of volume in the conservation plots when compared to the conventional. And this actually is, so even if we had higher concentrations in those plots, we still would have a low because the volume and also the runoff rate was very low compared to the conservation and the conventional treatments. Yes. For example, in 2015, we had seven irrigation sessions. The first and second irrigation, we had to monitor the entire field to make sure that we didn't have any spillover or blocks like that. So you do have to make sure that you clean some of the furrows up and make sure the flow is, you want a uniform moisture going down the entire field. So after the first few irrigations, we didn't have any issues from that point on.